he's at first base. Cliff Floyd, Carlos Beltran, playing the outfield. Come to Shea Stadium, our team's the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another long-awaited episode of the Homers at the Bat podcast. I almost said Cream in the Clear. That is not what we are. But we are talking about trades today. Big trades. Big trades going down in Major League Baseball. We're about 3 days away from the long-awaited trade deadline, my favorite time of the year. My co-host, Jeff Crisco, is with me. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing great, Joe. Long day at work, but ready to talk some baseball.
And I have been on a juice diet, so I am also spacey. But we are talking trades. This is my favorite time of year. And let's dive right into it. We got some big trades that went down fairly recently. I was actually really happy to look at RotoWorld last night because I wasn't sure what we were going to talk about. And then I saw two major trades happen yesterday. The first being the Royals acquiring Johnny Cueto, and the other being that the Blue Jays acquired Troy Tulowitzki in some very bizarre fashion.
Yeah, that Tula for Reyes trade, it was almost like a fantasy baseball trade. Like, all right, I'll give you Tula, and I'll take Reyes and a closer.
Here's right.
It's a bizarre trade.
The end of your bench. I'll give you Tulo, the best trade, and you give me three guys that don't matter and Jose Reyes, who's semi-washed up.
Exactly. So, do you want to start with the Tulo trade then?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I kind of wanted to start with what I consider to be the most bold trade so far, which is the Royals acquiring Johnny Cueto and giving up their very top prospect in Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed, who are also fairly good in their own right. So let's start with that one. What do you feel?
Well, I think it's actually a good trade for both sides. I think that the Royals getting Johnny Cueto gives them an actual decent pitcher. They were the best team of the AL without a halfway decent starting pitcher. And putting Cueto in front of that next level, like we talked about before, historic defense is going to do great for them. I think that's a huge haul for them to get back, but it was also a huge haul for them to give up, especially considering his contract situation. Finnegan, Lamb, and Reed, I mean, those are good players for a rebuilding Reds team. It's a lot to give up for the Royals, but they're clearly all in for this year. They made it to the World Series last year, and you know, they were really missing – they had James Shields last year, but they were really missing that, like, hand the ball to him, put the game in his hands ace like the Giants had with Mad Bum, and now they have that with Cueto.
Yeah, and what they had in big game Shields before they gave him up.
Yeah, and he was okay. He was right. He's no Mad Bum. I mean, he's good, but he's no Madison Bumgarner or Johnny Cueto type.
Right. Well, he built that name long before he made his way to the Royals.
Well, and, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That was his days with Tampa Bay. He was a much better pitcher.
Right. I would go as far as saying, I mean, they have him listed. The Kansas City Royals MLB page has him listed behind Edison Volquez. But I would say that he is easily their number one, right?
Yeah. Like, come on, Cueto's one of the top 10 pitchers in baseball. He's much better than Edison Volquez.
Right, and Yordano Ventura just came back for them, so he's likely their number two or one. I mean, really 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Well, he got sent down to the minors last week, and then he came back because Vargas had to get, I think, Tommy John. But that one day in the minors turned him around because he came back, and he was great.
I'll trust what I saw from Ventura last year over, what was it, 15 games or whatever this season?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I think Ventura is good. He's great. Pitchers lose it for half a season sometimes.
Exactly.
It happens.
And he's a sophomore. We got to remember he's like, what, 22?
Something like that.
Oh, he's 24. Never mind. Oh, 20. No, he's over the hill.
He's done. Got him.
But yeah, I thought this was the best trade so far. There was really that was the only thing they could do. They're as odd as it is to say about a team like the Royals that doesn't necessarily score a lot of runs, they really have all of their positions with the exception of the second base hole that they filled with Ben Zobrist, which we'll talk about shortly. They really had all of their positions filled. I mean, you could make an argument that with Alex Gordon back, he'll replace Alex Rios in right field, but everybody on this team plays an important defensive role that just can't be replaced, from Moustakas and Perez all the way to Dyson and left field.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that acquiring Zobrist is going to be big for them, not only at second base, but was that super utility player for so long, and that way they can give guys a rest, you know, have guys ready for the postseason run in the meantime. I know primarily he'll be playing second base, but that guy can play anywhere on the diamond.
Right, and he can even play the outfield, which he has before.
Yeah, and it looks like they gave up, was it Sean Manea, pitching prospect, and then Aaron Brooks, who apparently, I guess,
hey.
Aaron Brooks that plays in every
single... dynamic backup point guard play.
Yeah, exactly, and below average quarterback play. So there's just Aaron Brooks is everywhere. So I think that you know, they cleaned out part of their farm system for guys that'll help them this year, Cueto and Zobrist, and if it doesn't work, I guess they'll have a cleaned out farm system to retool. They're really going all in for this year.
This year. Yeah, they really have to get Cueto back there in the offseason or win this year, or this is going to look suspect. I mean, it's not that they're not built to win for the future anyway, but when you give up your top prospect who's almost major league ready for a guy that might not come back at the end of the season, that's a really bold play.
Yeah, that's a lot to give up for a rental.
Yeah. But, you know, Cueto has been playing in Cincinnati for, you know, 5+ years. It's not like he's attached to some big city. He could probably nestle into Kansas City pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we had that conversation about James Shields, about how he was in Tampa Bay and then Kansas City. So he doesn't necessarily need the big lights of a New York or a San Francisco, maybe.
Hey. All right. We'll get to that later. We're covering Giants stuff at the end, because I know that would just dominate this podcast. But Cueto, yeah. The other thing is, I think the Royals are very aware of who is going to stay and who won't. I think they've been a small market team forever. They really want to make it work this year and for the near future. They really want to build a dynasty. I mean, George Brett is at the head of this club, and he was on the last successful team. So
yeah. Yeah, before last year, that's true. They were the last successful Royals team.
Yeah, so he's really been, you know, pining for this. And I think if he didn't think he could re-sign Cueto, he wouldn't have gone out and done something like this.
You don't think so? I mean, that's entirely possible. Or he may just be under a lot of pressure to bring home that World Series title. It could be one of those by any means necessary situations.
Yeah, it's possible. I would say just because it's Kansas City, there aren't a lot of high expectations, period. But I do think with because of last year's World Series run and then losing in such dramatic fashion to the Giants, there could be some added pressure to win this year.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah, that is, I would say, a great trade. Again, like you said, for both sides. The Reds get two arms in Finnegan and Lamb that can step in next year and or within the next 2 years. And Cody Reed has been successful as well. So the next trade that I'd like to talk about is them acquiring Ben Zobrist, which we kind of briefly touched on. He'll be replacing the corpse of Omar Infante.
Yeah, that's near – all-star Omar Infante based on fan voting, which was complete garbage. But
right. He is hitting, you know, I just looked it up and I was just appalled. I was appalled that he's playing for them. He is hitting, where is it? Last five years. I don't care about that. Last 5 years. 230.
230.
Gotta love it, right?
Yeah, he's only hitting 230, but Joe.
But he's getting on base at 244.
Yeah, I was gonna say he has a 240 quad base and 316 slugging, so there you go.
Right. wow.
It's a clear upgrade, basically, is what was across the board. And he was easily the weakest part of their lineup. And now with Zobrist in there, he's not the Ben Zobrist that was in Tampa Bay for so long, but he's still a good player. I mean, he's OPS this season is just about 800. So he's quality everyday player.
Right. And they didn't give up much for him. The other thing is it's a lateral move defensively. It's not like they're sacrificing defense, which is their strong suit, for a little bit of offense.
Yeah. I don't think wildly one way or the other about Omar Infante or Ben Zobrist's defense. So they're sort of just, like you said, a lateral move.
Right. With, I would say, an upgrade in hitting.
If you press Omar Infante, I think Omar Infante would say it's an upgrade in hitting too.
Right. I think the Royals are thus far the winners of the trade deadline race, because they were arguably the best team in the league and certainly the best team in the AL.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those rich get richer situations. Mm-hmm. Where they're just putting talent on talent on talent. And that's what good teams do when they know they have their window. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely agree. So let's move on to the Blue Jays, who I think very well could be the winners when all is said and done. They acquired Troy Tulowitzki late last night, around 12 to 1, somewhere just in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
While everyone's sleeping.
I was working on the Baltimore Orioles preview post for Fantasy Sports Warehouse, and I was just about to close up for the night, and I checked Twitter, and I was like, what?
Right.
Tulo for Reyes? It was this, and I was like looking at it like as it was breaking, like they traded Troy Tulowitzki for, to the Blue Jays, and I was like, Troy Tulowitzki for 81 games. Jose Reyes for 81 games.
Right.
And then I said, actually, it's 3 or 4 for one, 3 or 4 for the other, and Munenori Kawasaki when they're both out for the season. And then, my bad jokes aside, I saw it was for Jose Reyes, and then it made no sense to me.
Right.
Absolutely no sense why the Rockies would do this.
This is so bizarre to me because the baseball community's been talking about a Rockies fire sale now for what seems like 5 years, like ever since they made the playoffs last and then fell from grace in, was that 2008? I mean, it was a long time ago.
It was a while ago, yeah. I was listening to a podcast today, and they said that they checked MLB trade rumors, and there's been almost constant Troy Tulowitzki trade rumors, once a month for the last, three. This has been a long time coming.
Right, at least. And it seems like finally the Rockies are committed to making that happen. And it's just so bizarre that they're doing it for Jose Reyes.
They have to be flipping him for something else. I mean,
yeah.
He's owed $20 million a year for the next 3 years. It doesn't make any sense for the Rockies to do this.
But at the same time, what are they flipping him? Who are they flipping him to? Who wants a 30-year-old Jose Reyes under contract for big money, whose defense has declined to the point of being fairly replaceable, and his offense really hasn't been all that great either.
And the real question is who decides now that the Rockies have him that they want him? Why wasn't this mystery team talking to the Blue Jays all along? like that doesn't make any sense. Like you get Jose Reyes to flip him. If their suitors for Jose Reyes, weren't they already talking to the Blue Jays? Like you didn't create a market for this guy. You just took him on. And so that's a big risk if they took him on without knowledge of an ability to flip him. It's just a very bizarre move for the Rockies.
Yeah, I mean I gotta believe that somebody may still want him, but it's just such a risk. I mean, you could trade Troy Tulowitzki. The point being, you could trade Troy Tulowitzki for anything. And you go out and you get a guy. I'm sorry, I thought he was 30. He's 32. He is a speed-based player, and he's stolen 16 bases so far. Probably will only steal around 30. His best tool, which is his speed, is long behind him.
Yeah.
So it's just a really confusing trade. They did get some prospects in the mix. Castro is okay, but he hasn't had a really good season. Tinoco's okay. Hoffman's okay. But just to give you a feel for what's going on here, I looked up all of those guys on the preseason Blue Jays prospects list. Mm-hmm. None of them came up. I just did the little F, Command F. Typed in their names. None of those guys came up. So
I know Castro had a cup of coffee earlier in the season, and he was pretty disastrous. But I'm surprised that they got him without giving up major prospects. They didn't give him Norris. Like that's their big prospect. That when I heard Tulo was going, I was like, oh, okay, well they're gonna get Norris back. And nope, right. It's Jose Reyes and a smattering of garbage.
Pretty amazing. And the other thing is that, yeah, this sets up a scenario where they basically have to flip Reyes to get prospects because they just blew their chance of prospects with Tulowitzki. So it's downgrade in trade command. It's a bizarre type of thing.
Yeah, it's you trade like an A for a B and a bunch of Fs. And they're like, all right, guys, who wants to give me a couple C's for this
for
B?
Some B's.
Yeah,
and they're like, wait a minute, didn't you just have an A that we could have traded one of our A's for? Like, our, you know.
Yeah, and that's the Rockies are like, no, 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 quantity, not quality. That's right. That's what you want. You just want a bunch of guys. Doesn't matter if they're any good.
Well, fortunately, they play in an awesome hitter's park, so getting all those young arms is just going to totally work out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play to your ballpark. That's why the Giants definitely didn't go out and get a bunch of great pitchers or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
This move, it just doesn't make any sense to me for the Rockies.
So on the flip side of this deal are the obvious winners in the Blue Jays. They got the best shortstop in baseball. Is he still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they also got there is a possibility. So I was watching the SportsCenter breakdown of this whole thing, and Kirkjian was on, Tim Kirkjian, the ESPN analyst, was on, and he said that this might be the Blue Jays kind of gearing up to flip Troy Tulowitzki for a pitcher, which they desperately need because they've scored the most runs in baseball by a pretty wide margin, about 70, and they have the seventh worst team ERA in baseball. And they sit you know, are they at the top of their division? No, they're 500, aren't they?
Yeah, I think there's a very surprising team at the top of that division.
Is it the Tankies? It is.
It is the Tankies. They are 7 games up on the Blue Jays and the Orioles.
Right. So the Blue Jays are 50-50. 7 games back seems like a lot toward the end of the year, but we still have a reasonable amount of time for them to catch up. I see this as being a move. When I heard that, first I thought, well, why would they get Troy Tulowitzki just to flip him? But then I looked at that most runs scored in baseball stat, and I thought, well, why do they need more runs from Troy Tulowitzki?
Because dingers are awesome.
Right.
And, I mean, it really depends on, yeah, what the front office is thinking. I could definitely see them doing the exact opposite of what we're saying with the Rockies. They took a B, a bunch of C's, Z's, and F's, packaged them, got an A, and then they're going to flip that for an A pitcher. I can see that a Hamels a Price type.
Exactly. So that was my next question. Are the Blue Jays now the favorites for either David Price or Cole Hamels They are officially linked to Mike Fiers, but that's a different story, obviously.
The favorites to get Price or Hamels? I guess in the AL, I mean, the obvious thing that I see, and I don't like it, there's two NL teams that I could see ending up with one of those pitchers, or the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They have too much hitting. They have too many outfielders. They have Alex Guerrero, who, if they get him to waive that clause that makes him a free agent, could right. be enticing. Or they one of those guys could end up with the Cubbies, because the Cubs have a ton. I mean, we talked about it before. They have a ton of young prospects, and yeah. everyone they call up has been playing well, and they're going to end up with a glut pretty soon.
Yeah. And they have a kind of a logjam at shortstop.
Yeah, they've got – yeah. I mean, Castro sucks, but he's there, and they've got Javi Baez still in the minors, and they've got intriguing pieces to a rebuilding team. Now, the David Price thing is interesting because – I heard a quote today from their GM, whose name escapes me right now, that they don't see themselves as sellers. They have deluded themselves into thinking that they could make a run at it, that they could actually be buyers at the deadline, which means they wouldn't flip Price.
You are talking about Dave Dombrowski, correct?
Dave Dombrowski, thank you. I wanted to say Morosi, but that's somebody else.
Right. So Dave Dombrowski, I read the same quote. He came out and said that they are considering being buyers, but at a really low level. So they were linked to Mike Leake, who we'll talk about a little later, as being their answer, which I don't really understand.
I don't think Mike Leake's the answer to anything unless the question cool. like what
is how do we go 500?
Yeah. Like, how do we go 500, or whose baseball player sounds like, urinary slang?
Right. How do we get a reliable slew of starts without anything all that impressive?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Gentlemen, we need a pitcher that can throw 400 ERA or 4.00 ERA for us. Oh, right. Let's go get Mike Leake. Right.
Yeah, that's sad, because we'll be talking about him when we get to the Giants. So anyway,
a 4 ERA would be an improvement off of some of the things we've seen.
God, that would be our 3. But anyway, yeah, you don't think that they're the favorites. It sounds like you don't think they're the favorites for either one, really.
No, just because, well, if the Tigers realize that they're actually not good, and they want to go for a, to retool for next year, I think Price and Tulo make the obvious match, because the Phillies are so far gone. Like, they're not going to be good for a while. They need right. to make a lot of moves. That trading for Tulowitzki would be a waste. Like, they need to get, they need to get high prospects, not the $20 million a year or whatever that Tulowitzki is making.
Right.
So I think that as for Hamels, I think that the Blue Jays or the Dodgers – I'm not the Blue Jays, sorry. The Cubbies or the Dodgers are the obvious choice. But I think if the Tigers flip Price, I think that, yes, what Kirkchin was saying was that makes plenty of sense for them to move him to – because the Tigers are very good, but they're old. So it wouldn't make sense for them to get prospects. It would make sense for them to get Tulo.
Exactly. Yeah, their window is Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez and Yoenis Cespedes to a certain extent. I mean, they are a fairly old team, and Verlander. So going and getting a guy who can replace someone who's not going to pan out like Jose Iglesias makes a lot of sense.
And they also have to – they're up against the clock, because that clock's going to strike.
I'm sorry.
And J.D. Martinez might turn back into a pumpkin.
Right. That clock's running out. The fairy godmother is getting ready to make that happen.
Yeah. So I think, that makes sense, because not only are they're putting strength on strength on strength on strength, putting that lineup together, they're also overwhelmingly right-handed. So
yeah,
that might cause some problems down the line. When it works during the regular season to, you could get one over with a platoon disadvantage like that, but you can't give up a game or two in a playoff series with that severe platoon disadvantage.
No, Yeah, I totally agree. So I look at the Tigers, and the more I look at their roster, minus Miguel Cabrera, they are a very weak team, which I think we talked about preseason. But it screams right now that they should be sellers and not buyers, I think.
Well, unfortunately, everybody but Dave Dombrowski realizes that.
Right. Fortunately, we are not linked to that organization professionally. So what do you think about the Blue Jays being linked to Mike Fiers? Because we talked about Mike Fiers preseason. He's a guy I love and have loved for quite some time.
I think my derisive exhaling of the lips, which was I just made that noise and that was instinct. I think that is a disaster for the Rogers Center because he likes to give up dingers.
Yes, he does. That's still his sore area.
Yeah, that's his MO. So in such a hitter's ballpark, I think that might be a rough go of it. They kind of actually would be better off getting a ground ball guy instead of a fly ball guy, just because it's not like a ground ball guy. You can hit those over the fence, you know?
Totally agree. But do you think he'll be much worse than he is at the Brewers ballpark, which is also a notorious hitter's park?
No, I mean, not really. It's hard to be worse than that, but I mean, it's hard to be worse than a 3.94 ERA.
Right.
That's a pretty low bar to cross.
Right. I mean, he has shown some success. The issue is he's 30. So it's not like he's some young dude that's only been in the league for 5 years, but started at like 21 or 22. He started at 26 and now he's 30, and he's really only gotten, I would say this year is not a bad year. 394 with a 116 strikeouts in 112 innings is not bad. And a 116 to 42 strikeout to walk is not bad either. And last year certainly showed that he's pretty good. But I think you're right. He's definitely not Price, and he's definitely not Cole Hamels, and he's definitely not necessarily what the Blue Jays need, because the Blue Jays need a lot of pitching help.
Yeah, if you're going to go after Mike Fiers, you're not doing it with Troy Tulowitzki. You're doing it with a lower level piece, like a sell high on the Devin Travis hot streak, hope that the Brewers, you know, buy into it. Move that piece. If they move that piece for Mike Fiers, that I can see, because they just, you know, got more offense. But if it's a Tulo, if the main parts of a package are Tulo and Mike Fiers, something went horribly wrong in the Blue Jays front office, I think.
Right. Their ace right now, listed ace, is Drew Hutchison.
Yeesh. I mean, yeah, their pitching's a mess. They were planning on having Stroman, who I was big on preseason.
As was I, yeah.
Yeah, being the head of that rotation, but he tore, I think it was his ACL. Just says knee.
No, okay. Knee, but it's probably ACL.
Yeah, it's probably ACL. I remember that day in during spring training, because I was huge on Stroman, and I was very sad. But I'll look forward to seeing him next year. But yeah, their pitching is not, it's just not very good, and
it's not going to be getting any better anytime soon, because it's relying on guys like Mark Burley having a good season and R.A. Dickey still pitching and guys like that.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, Marco Estrada. Oof, Marco Estrada in the Rogers Center. I remember I was not happy about that either.
He hasn't been as bad as I thought he would be either, which is amazing.
Yeah, he's actually been better than his career average, which is weird.
It's very bizarre. Baseball's a bizarre game.
Yeah, you can't predict baseball. I mean, that's how it goes. That's why you play the game. So,
sure. Well, yeah,
I was going to say, I think that if they were in talks with the Tigers to flip Tulo for Price, it would be a good move. If they try to move him for Hamels, it's going to work out well for them.
Agreed. In the short term, they are scoring tons of runs for the next 3 months.
Yeah, so at least they'll be fun to watch.
Yes, yes. Just like the days of Kirby Puckett. No, wait, not Kirby Puckett. He was with Joe Carter.
Joe Carter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know what you meant.
Both very excitable, large men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense now, the trade. If the iconic moment in your franchise history is somebody hitting a home run, you're like, just collect home run hitters. It'll work out.
Right. It's just ingrained in Blue Jays fans for generations. We got to see home runs. Who cares about strikeouts?
They're like, last time there was a home run, we won the World Series. So
if we get 100 home runs over the course of the World Series.
Yeah, then it doesn't matter how bad Marco Estrada and Mark Burley are.
Right. Okay, yeah. So the Blue Jays, good for them. The Astros have acquired Scott Kazmir, and they gave up Daniel Manhaden and Jacob Nottingham, who I know nothing about.
Yeah, this one was really weird. It's good for the Astros. Like most trades the A's have made recently, it's bad for the A's. I don't know what Billy Bean's doing. His magic beans have stopped working, and everything's falling apart. But the A's got really unlucky this year and decided to blow it up for some reason because they have a plus 37 run differential. I kept seeing that number thrown out there.
Yeah, so we like them preseason, by the way.
Yeah, they just should be a lot. Yeah, let's see. We thought the Yankees were going to be bad. The A's were going to be good. We thought the Red Sox were going to be good. So you can turn off the podcast right now. We clearly don't know what we're talking
about. Yeah, just go ahead and unsubscribe today.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. But it's great for the Astros. Keuchel and Kazmir, great 1-2 punch. And they're gearing up to make a run at it. At least that we were right on. Well, you were right on. I didn't think the Astros were going to be good till next year.
Yes, yes. I'm patting myself on the back as we speak. But Scott Kazmir, huge move. Really, really big move for them. Not like they weren't getting great pitching already, but they did kind of – they have experienced a bit of a fall off with Colin McHugh, who was their, you know, 1B pitcher next to Dallas Keuchel, or the guy that they would hope to be their 1B, and now he's arguably their fourth or fifth best starter, or their fifth best starter, really. So getting Kazmir to kind of pick up some of his slack and maybe even motivate McHugh to get back on track made a lot of sense for them.
Yeah. I was going to say teams will pick up like a veteran guy who's been around the league for a while, like a Scott Kazmir, but usually he's garbage. Like they'll do it specifically to teach the younger guys, but usually he's garbage. Scott Kazmir being a very good pitcher is sort of a bonus for them.
Exactly. They kind of win in both ways there. Yeah, the Astros continue to cruise. They look to be one of the top three teams in the AL right now.
Yep. The good get better.
Yeah, yeah. Yet again. A lot of really good trades here. The next one, which I thought I loved for the Mets when I first heard it, the Mets acquired Tyler Clippard and they gave up Casey Meisner. And that was because I didn't know much about Casey Meisner, but in my research today coming into the podcast – I've actually learned a little bit about Casey Meisner. He's only – well, let me see if I can pull it up first. Here he is. Casey Meisner. Yeah. He is 20 years old. He's only 20. And he's dominated he hasn't – I wouldn't say he dominated his first 2 years. Rookie in a low A, he had a 306 and a 375 ERA. But his strikeouts – were right on par with his innings pitched. And then this season, so far, he's pitched for low A and high A, and he's gone 10-4. He has a 2.35 ERA, 111 innings pitched with 89 strikeouts. That's pretty 89 strikeouts to 33 walks. That's pretty good for a 20-year-old who's only been in the league for a few years now.
Yeah, 20, that's pretty good for a 20-year-old. And I also liked the trade for the Mets at first because I was like, who's this Casey Meisner loser? And I actually think they gave up a lot, but they must have known. Did you hear about the news today with Henry Mejia?
Yes. Another 160 insane amount of games.
Yeah, another forever. So they must have known that Clipper or that Mejia's suspension was looming. Because I think they usually, I remember when what happened with Melky Cabrera, he actually got popped a few weeks before and they'd appealed it before it was actually announced. So the Mets must have known. So, I mean, do the Mets think that they're contenders? Like, that doesn't make any sense. They're not that good.
Okay, well, here is where you and I starkly divide, because I think that they are contenders. I still think that their rotation is at least top three and arguably the best young rotation right now. I you know, coming onto the podcast, I got to see the first three innings pitched of Noah Syndergaard today. He was perfect through three with four strikeouts. That kid's a beast. Harvey's still great. DeGrom's a beast. I really like this team a lot. Their offense stinks, and I think that's where you're going to come in. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can lose a lot of games 1-0.
Yeah, and I think that they are experiencing
the perfect, yeah, the perfect example right now. DeGrom had Syndergaard had six perfect innings, and they're only up 2-0. Like,
right?
Come on.
Oh, is he perfect? The Mets,
no, he. I got an ESPN alert in the seventh inning. Noted slugger Will Venable broke up the perfect game.
Oh, of course. Wow. So here's the thing. They're only two games behind the Nationals. I think the Nationals are a better team, certainly with the trade they made just today. And right before we started our podcast. For Poo-Poo-Bon. Yeah, we'll talk about Poo-Poo-Bon. But I do like Tyler Clippard. I like that he is, in my opinion, their best reliever.
Agreed? I mean, yeah, Juris Familia has played better this year, but in terms of the talent level, I would put Clippard above Familia.
And the only reason I see them making this trade is to make Clippard their closer, because I don't see any way that Sandy Alderson talks up Casey Meisner as he had. I mean, he basically said preseason, this kid's going to be a future ace. So to trade him for a guy that they're just going to have backing up Juris Familia doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, not really. I mean, it's nice to have a setup man, but you don't move assets to get a great setup man.
So. Exactly. I like the Mets. I think this is a great move for the Mets. I think they still need a hitter, but I do like the Mets, so let's move on.
I think you just chose the intro song for today. Do you remember the New York Mets, Our Team, Our Time?
Of course.
Yeah, that's happening on this one.
Awesome. I will listen to it multiple times. So let's get on to our middling trades. We've spent enough on the big boys. First middling trade I have listed are the Braves getting Bronson Arroyo and Tuki Toussaint for Phil Gosselin.
Okay, here's the thing about this trade. I don't care.
Yeah.
good for the Braves, but I mean they did have to take on Bronson Arroyo, but it's like.
Yes, the only reason I've even listed this trade is because Tuki Toussaint is involved, and he's the D-backs number five prospect.
I might be wrong, but isn't their minor league system kind of...
Yes. Lucky? Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, so the number five for the Diamondbacks is probably like number like 25 for the Cubbies or the Astros going into the season.
Exactly, yeah. So the Braves are getting some replenishment to their farm system. The Diamondbacks are getting rid of one guy who is a part of a very rich farm system, and that would be that trade. Not sure why I listed that first. Okay, but Shane Victorino is the next trade. Shane Victorino went to the Angels for Josh Rutledge.
This trade, I actually enjoyed this trade because I learned that Josh Rutledge was no longer on the Rockies.
Right, and still in the league.
I thought he was still on the Rockies and just rotting away on their bench. I think that it's good for the Angels. I think that the Red Sox did it just to clear room for Rosny Castillo. They're clearly packing it in on this season. They have no reason to have Victorino anymore. The Angels needed a left fielder ever since they gave up on Josh Hamilton because he shockingly did drugs after they signed him after he did drugs.
Yeah, wow. What a surprise.
That part was very weird. But I like it for the Angels. It makes sense for the Red Sox to just pack it in, see what they got with Rosny Castillo. And, I mean, Rutledge has some talent, but that infield's getting kind of crowded too. I think we talked about that preseason. Agreed. That it's a kind of a crowded infield.
Yeah, I agree. I like this trade because I strongly believe that the Angels did not entirely think through the Josh Hamilton trade. And so at least they get a lateral movement from Josh Hamilton, who is an aging player. This one speed-based as opposed to power-based. But a more successful player than Josh Hamilton this season, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right to me. I know Hamilton was out for a while with injuries and stuff, but I think after Hamilton, they were going for like a quote unquote locker room guy, and that Victorino fits the bill for that.
Former winner has won a couple of World Series.
Other pointless platitudes. I heard he cried though when he found out he got traded. So
he's Victorino.
Yeah, he's not a gamer, Joe.
Yeah. Well, he's Hawaiian and they're very emotional people.
That's right.
As we all
know. Have a Mocha Loco and feel better about it. And right. That ends the racist part of the podcast.
Right. So can we just have we should have a soundbite set up for the racist. Joe's racist plugs. I don't know why I do it. I'm obviously trying to ruin my reputation via the internet. So not sure why. But anyway, let's go on. The other end of it is, yes, I think you're 100% right about Rutledge filling a hole in the infield. It is getting a little, well, no, not filling a hole, but it is a little crowded. I'm shocked Brock Holt is still on this team. I said it a million times. I think he needs to be playing for somebody who could use a super utility guy like him and not the Red Sox.
I'm sure the Red Sox got a call from the Royals. I mean, that's sort of how I feel like Ben Zobrist ended up there, that they were looking for a super utility guy.
Right.
Could play a lot of second. So I'm sure the Red Sox, they had a conversation with the Royals, but the Red Sox have been kind of weird about not trading for prospect or trading their players away, their young players. So,
yeah,
I don't know either.
The Red Sox look like they are just kind of confused, as we all are.
You signed Pablo Sandoval to a giant contract and he turns to garbage. I mean, who saw that coming?
Right? Nobody. By the way, I'm not sure. Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll get to that later. I just want to, have you heard about, no, I'll get to that later. All right. Let's save that. Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson, and cash considerations to the Mets for John Gant and Robert Whalen. Don't know either of those two guys.
Juan Uribe used to be on the – no, I'm just kidding. this actually is very scary for the Mets offense to me because Juan Uribe is going to play third for them, I do believe. Yikes. And that's bad.
Yeah, he can't really play short anymore.
Yeah, and that's bad because that means they don't know when David Wright's coming back. And that's when I heard what David Wright had. It's something that I dealt with at work before, spinal stenosis. It could be as much as sometimes your fingers tingle. Or your toes tingle, and sometimes it's as bad as you need assistance walking.
Wow.
Yeah, because what it is it's actually it's the canal where your spinal cord goes through your back. It's narrowing at a point, so it's pinching the nerve. It's pinching the spinal cord a little bit. So there's varying degrees of it. And that's why they, when they first said it, they're like, oh, he might be back in a couple weeks. And I was like, that's not entirely true, because it can be bad. It can be real bad. So that makes me worried about David Wright coming back this year at all for them, which would be a huge blow, because that offense is bad with David Wright.
So I think what you're saying is that the Mickey Mantle comparisons were very warranted.
For David Wright. That guy, he was great for a long time, but he sort of, his time, I think we talked about it, he got old fast, and the spinal stenosis is definitely a very bad thing for him to have.
Okay. Yes, very sad. I'm sorry. Very, very sad. Yes, this trade also just screamed desperation to me. Like, anyone who's willing to trade for Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson at this point, they're just kind of scraping at nothing.
Yeah, they're trying to capture that lightning in a bottle. You know, that weird random half season where a player just plays way above their talent level. Yeah. And I don't know if they're gonna get that from Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson, who I'm pretty sure combined are like 70 years old.
Right, so that 5 year ago Thunder from Uribe and Johnson, probably. Yeah, not let's see.
Juan Uribe 36.
Yep.
Kelly Johnson is 33. Oh, I'm not a bad guess.
I mean, they were old when they were good, so that should say something.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Mets are scrapping for offense. They're going to need to do a little bit more. Let's move on to the next trade. Aramis Ramirez to the Pirates for Jonathan Barrios.
I know nothing about Jonathan Barrios, and I know Aramis Ramirez is expensive and not worth his contract, which is why the Brewers got rid of it.
Yes. So here's a confusing thing. They have Pedro Alvarez, and when this trade went through a few days ago, a couple of rumors bubbled up about Pedro Alvarez potentially being flipped to another team for, I can't remember what they were searching for, but then the Pirates GM instantly came out and said, no, we are not flipping Pedro Alvarez. We love Pedro Alvarez. He's our third baseman of the future. What's going on here, Jeff?
Don't ask me. I'm not running the Pirates.
Right.
I have no idea what the Pirates are doing with that. If they want to have Pedro Alvarez and Aramis Ramirez, I mean, it's not like they're in the AL where they can, you know, do that DH thing where they can get people just to get people's bats in the lineup. But
right.
Yeah, hold on. Let me take a look at their depth chart really quick.
Well, I think they have Alvarez playing first right now. I'm not sure.
Okay, why. Yeah, that's what confused me, because I was like, if Alvarez is their third baseman, who's playing first? Because I thought, yeah, he was playing first.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, you get both their bats in the lineup. You are blocking Travis Ishikawa, so it is sort of a step down from, you know, NLCS, you know, hero, Travis
right.
Ishikawa. Don't forget that.
Travis Ishikawa, yes. Yeah.
But it's a lateral move. I think Aramis Ramirez's best days are behind him. He reminds me a lot of Pedro Alvarez at this point.
Just right.
Yeah, they're essentially the same player to me. So I don't know. Maybe they needed two of them in the lineup.
Yeah, and Ramirez is kind of like, at least past Ramirez, is kind of what Alvarez was supposed to be, like the dead dream of the Pedro Alvarez clan.
Wow.
You know, he was supposed to hit like 300, supposed to strike out a little bit, but hit like 30 dingers a year and be that cornerstone offensive piece. And I think that that's kind of out the window at this point.
Yeah, it's definitely out the window. When he's probably the fourth or fifth best player on this offense.
Wow, at least, right?
Yeah, McCutcheon, Polanco, Marte, Walker. Depending on what you think of Jung Ho Kang.
Jung Ho Kang,
yeah.
And that's the best offensive player. That's what you said, because there's plenty of significantly better players overall.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying the best hitters.
Right. Okay. I would say fifth is probably safe enough.
Yeah.
Lateral move. Pirates didn't get much from this, which makes it all the more confusing, especially if Barrios turns out to be anything. The Cardinals, my last one, I saved the best for last, Jeff. The Cardinals acquired Steve Cishek and gave up Kyle Barraclough.
I got to say that I'm surprised that the Cardinals, all they had to trade them was a pastry. And they got Steve Cishek. This is just the Cardinals being the Cardinals. I mean, they have this weird black magic where they can acquire quality players for almost nothing. It's astonishing to me.
Yeah, let's pull a reliever who's had a 3+ ERA for two seasons now, 4.50+ this year, and let's turn him into the next Trevor Rosenthal.
Exactly. He'll be great with the Cardinals. It'll be annoying. It's awful. I hate it, but that's how it goes. And Kyle Barraclough
will never be heard of again.
Yeah. Except for if he ever makes it to the majors, I'm going to make tons of Barraclough jokes.
Of course. You have to. Yeah. Prince Fielder and him get teamed up on the same side of the field.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible. All right. So we're actually running a little short on time. You want to move on real quick to some rumors? We touched on a lot of these already.
So. Rumors. Yes. We did touch on Cole Hamels and David Price, who were my first two. So maybe we can combo them. What have you heard about Cole Hamels and David Price?
I have heard I actually haven't heard a lot. I've been kind of unplugged from the rumor mill. I try not to pay attention to rumors because there's a lot of them.
Yes.
I know what we talked about. So we kind of talked it through. It sounds like good trade partner for Cole Hamels services would be the Cubbies. For Price
or the Dodgers
for Price, it sounds like it would be a good move for both teams if they're both trying to contend, for them to move Price to the Blue Jays, for Tulo, a package of those players. But in terms of anything specific, I mean, the only thing I put in the notes, Tigers think they're a good question mark for David Price. So
yeah, the David Price rumors are kind of dead. Cole Hamels, my favorite rumor, leading up to a couple of days ago when they acquired Scott Kazmir, was that he was going to Houston, and he's a Texas kid and grew up rooting for the Astros. And that seemed like that would have been pretty cool to see him resurrect the Astros, his favorite team. But, you know, after Kazmir, I'm kind of betting they probably won't go after him.
Yeah. And that actually reminds me, I heard Eric Caraboo, who's ESPN, he's a Phillies fan, he's a little plugged in, he's not really behind the scenes or anything, but he was saying that he thinks Hamels is going to be a Ranger. I don't know.
Yes, that was the other one, the other Texas team.
Was that he would be a Ranger. Yeah, I didn't think about that until you said that, but that, I mean, how are the Rangers stacking up in the standings?
They are sub-500, but they are only 8 games back from the Angels.
Oh, and then, but Hamels is under team control for a while. But it seems like kind of a waste to, with that ballpark, to get a pitcher like Cole Hamels. It does seem like a bit of a waste, but.
Agreed. I think an aging arm like Cole Hamels needs a run suppressant ballpark.
Exactly. Exactly. At this point, when you start to get to a certain point, it's all about playing to your ballpark. And when you play in a dinger machine, it's hard to play to that ballpark.
It would be nice to see Cole Hamels on a different team with a run suppressant ballpark, which we'll be talking about very soon when we get onto the Giants. So the next guy on the list after those two big names is Carlos Gonzalez, because the Rockies cannot stop shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah. Cargo, he's actually been really good lately. I haven't heard any sort of trade rumors about where he might go. There's just this persistent, Rockies might as well trade Carlos Gonzalez. Sort of people throwing their hands in the air. But it sounds like I'm looking on MLB trade rumors that they were tied. He was tied to the Angels, but that doesn't make a lot of sense.
After the Victorino trade.
Yeah, after the Victorino trade. I wonder if the Rockies wanted too much. Maybe they looked at the Tulo.
Maybe they want Shane Victorino, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So I'm very confused about Carlos Gonzalez and where he, why they would do this, because he's just kind of turned it on. And it's not like he's been bad for years now. He was very good. He was an all-star in 2013. So he's put together 20 home runs. We're about halfway through the season, and he's hitting 278, which isn't his usual 300. But he looks in line for maybe 35 to 40 home runs, which the Rockies could use. And he's only 29.
Yeah, he should stay put. Personally, I think he should stay put. If the Rockies want to move him for some prospects or whatever, as a Giants fan, I say go for it. Right. The Rockies always seem to be kicking the can down the road. Right. You know, they're going to waste the first few years of Nolan Arenado rebuilding.
Of course.
That's the Rocky way. You can only have one or two good players at a time.
By the way, can I get a little ding? I mean, I don't know if we have our sound effects yet, but like a little ding for the Nolan Arenado drop, because he's on track, I believe, for that 30 or 35 or whatever absurd amount of home runs, I guess, for him.
Hold on. You get a ding when you earn a ding.
Okay. So I get a ding at the end of the season then.
Yeah. So well, actually, tell me that. You get a ding in three more home runs, actually. No, you said over 28. So I have to get time
to run on him.
Yeah. He's got to get four home runs.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I'm still pretty confident about that, too.
Yeah, you're fine about that. Hey, if we're pimping our suggestion or predictions, how about them Giants or them Kings
going
500 or whatever? That didn't work out well.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't mention that.
Yeah. Jeff. Well, you brought up. I'm here.
Oh, sorry, you cut out for a sec. Oh,
okay.
Okay, well, let's move on to a trade that I had under rumors but actually turned into a real thing today. Jonathan Papelbon was dealt to the Washington Nationals for a AAA pitcher named Nick Pivetta.
The Nationals are clearly gearing up to crash into the Royals in the World Series. They wanted to solidify their bullpen, and it's hard to find a better player to do that with than Jonathan Papelbon. He's a jerk. I don't like him. He's Papelbon. He's a talented pitcher. He was bad for a while. He's good again. That's going to be a rough team to try to go against in the World Series, in the playoffs.
How lovely would it be to see the Kansas City Royals and the former Montreal Expos facing off in a World Series?
That would be very weird, and I didn't think of it that way, but that would be kind of awesome.
I think that would be really cool. I would probably root for both to win.
Yeah, I like Bryce Harper. So I would probably root for the Nationals ahead of the Royals. But yeah, it's one of those things where no matter who wins, you're going to be happy for them. Sort of like with Golden State and Cleveland in the finals this year. Right. I was like, it's not the Spurs, Lakers,
Celtics,
he, even though it is LeBron, but it's not the teams that have won a bunch of times, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Two fan bases that have been just dying for any semblance of happiness.
Yeah. So I'd be happy with no matter what happens there in that World Series.
Totally agree. Let's move on to our next rumor. Yasiel Puig's name is being dangled.
Oh God.
What's going on in La La Land?
Don Mattingly hates Yasiel Puig, but I think it's going to be so hard to find somebody who will take on Yasiel Puig and give you something of value in return, because he acts like such a young kid that like traditional baseball people hate Yasiel Puig.
Right.
So he's extremely undervalued despite being a very talented player.
Totally agree. I love Yasiel Puig. I don't like him as a person, but, you know, it's like the Bryce Harper effect. I think I've seen the guy up close, and he is remarkable. Like, as remarkable a player as I've ever seen live. He made three great catches when I saw him a year ago play the Giants with my dad. He made one catch that I swore I saw him take off his hat and catch it in his hand, but I know he didn't. He just made a shoestring catch where he slid and had to run like, gosh, it had to be a half a football field to get to that ball that was dropping in front of him. He also made another behind the back catch. It was Willie Mays style. It was, and then a pretty decent throw back into the infield. Just my dad and I turned to each other. Our jaws were dropped. It was like the most incredible viewing experience I've ever seen. So he's 24 years old. He is, let's see if he's hitting 253. So the scary thing I think that we're talking about here is that his stats have declined over 3 years.
Yeah, this year he's been hurt most of the year. It's sort of a small sample size sort of deal. Trust me, I've been watching Yasiel Puig closely because I have him on my fantasy team. So
right.
He's still been all right. He's not stealing as much, but nobody on the Dodgers is stealing as much.
Right. They're playing it very safe this year.
Yeah, I think the smart thing for the Dodgers to do would be not trading Puig. But again, just like with Cargo, as a Giants fan, I encourage them to kick that can down the road as much as they can.
Totally agree. Yeah. He won't be coming to us, obviously, but it would be nice to see him out of the division. They do have to trade an outfielder, which is the only reason I even put this on here. I mean, it popped up on MLB Trade Rumors, but a lot of stuff pops up on MLB Trade Rumors that I don't put on here. The reason that I put his name on is because they've had a log jam in the outfield for a while now, and the names being kicked around were Ethier and Scott Van Slyke. And to hear that Puig might be one of those names was just, it sounded too good to be true, but also I'm very hopeful of seeing that happen.
Yeah, trust me, I'd be the happiest out of all three of those players. If I could have a choice between getting Andre Ethier, Scott Van Slyke, or Yasiel Puig out of my division, I would choose Yasiel Puig at a heartbeat.
Puig. So the next one is Craig Kimbrell, who, believe it or not, was not on the Padres at the beginning of the season. He was traded right as opening day occurred, pretty much, to the Padres. We didn't get to talk about him in preseason, but I thought that was a great trade for the Padres. It obviously was not because they're not doing all that well. What do you feel about Craig Kimbrell's name being dangled in trade rumors?
He should be a Cub.
Wow. That is the coolest thing we've ever said in this podcast.
I think he should be a Cub. It's the perfect fit. They're trotting out Jason Mott, Rafael Soriano, Rondon. It's just, he should be a Cub. I think it's the perfect fit.
It makes perfect sense. On it, Jeff, I'm like blown away. That is like the most perfect speculation ever.
Yeah, because they could flip him. I mean, he's a closer, so you don't need to give up a lot for him, but he's a top shelf closer, so he'll probably help your team more.
Keep him.
The potential prospect would.
Hector Rondon.
Yeah, then Hector Rondon. If the Cubbies are going to make a move this year, I think that trading for Craig Kimbrell or Cole Hamels would be a really smart move on their part.
That's it for them. I mean, I think he would help them more than even Cole Hamels. Does that sound crazy? Because it's not like their rotation's terrible. They've got John Lester, Arrieta, Jason Hamill, Kyle Hendricks. All those guys are pulling their weight. I mean, Hamels would certainly help, but to have a guy that sews up that end of the bullpen, which has really been the problem for them. I mean, they've been losing games late.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And plus, I mean, he could help you in a lot more games, whereas, you know, Hamels, you're going to get, what, like 10 starts out of him? And you'll know in 6 or 7 of those starts if you're in it or not. So the last couple starts are going to be wasted.
Right.
So, yeah, I think totally that that they could make that move for Hamels, but Kimbrell might be a smarter move because he's still a good pitcher, even though he's playing horribly this year. I mean, you don't just forget how to be the best relief pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, it's too bizarre. It's not linked to any kind of trend. It's not linked to the ballpark, obviously. It's just way too bizarre. And it's not like he's totally bad. I mean, a 2.75 ERA is pretty damn good. I think a lot of relievers would want to have that success, especially with 55 strikeouts to 39 innings pitched.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good great, but he hasn't been Craig Kimbrell, you know. There's a big drop off between Craig Kimbrell and most other pitchers that he still has room to go in. So I think he should be a Cub. And
totally agree.
That would be the best move for the Cubbies, would we go get Kimbrell.
Totally agree. Cubs need to be involved in more rumors, period. Because we all know how much this podcast loves the Cubs. We should be getting paid by the Cubs because we promote the Cubs more than any other team on this podcast.
Yeah, but then we'd be associated with the Cubs and the 100-plus years of darkness.
There'd be the curse of the Homers at the Bat podcast.
Exactly. Do you want to move on to the next one on the list and maybe break the Giants up into do another one tomorrow? Because it's...
I would not mind that, Jeff. Yeah, I do have a lot of Giants stuff there. So let's do that. We only have two more names. Tyson Ross.
I have heard nothing about Tyson Ross, to be completely honest with you. I have expunged Tyson Ross from my radar because he was so bad for me early in the season on my fantasy team that I have just completely expunged him from my radar. So what have you heard about Tyson Ross?
Well, I just typed in Tyson Ross to Google and the Cubs and Tyson Ross popped up.
I did the same thing. I guess, I mean, that would work. I don't like Tyson Ross. He walks too many people, his whip's too high. If he gets out of Petco, it's going to be a disaster. That's just my two cents on Tyson Ross.
Yeah, he leads the league in walks, or I think that's what this Baseball Reference bold number means. I think it's a leading the league, right?
Yeah, it's league leader. So he is
the league leader in walks.
Yeah. So that's all you need to know. I don't like Tyson Ross. I think he's a mirage. It's going to be a lot like, remember when Peavy got out of Petco and he didn't know how to pitch outside of Petco for a while? That's exactly what it is. And the Cubs would be dumb to go get him, frankly.
I do like the strikeouts to innings pitched. And here's the thing. When I think of, why am I blanking on his name? It's because I'm on a juice diet. The Cubs GM.
Epstein?
Theo Epstein, exactly. When I think of Theo Epstein, I think of what Billy Beane used to be, which is that you don't question Theo Epstein. He's the greatest of all time. And I used to like Tyson Ross. I really liked him last year. He was an all-star. Or he has a star next to his name. I'm assuming that means all-star. Yes, he was an all-star. There it is. But he also has 132 strikeouts to 122 innings pitched. And last year he had 195 strikeouts. It is really hard to get close to 200 strikeouts in this league. And he almost did it.
But he walks half the planet as well. That's the problem with him. I just think once he gets out of Petco that the guys that he does get on base when he's not striking people out are going to become a problem because those base runners are going to score. I think that's the problem. He'll still strike out a ton of people, but he's also going to give up a lot more runs if he leaves Petco.
Agreed. And he is also entering a division that has much better offenses.
Yes, sir.
At least historically. Okay, so you and I are kind of split. You think it's a disaster. I'm more kind of on the fence because I really used to like Ross, but I certainly understand the walk argument. Let's move on to the guy that I was talking about. Lord knows how many podcasts ago about rumors circulating him. And I think I just added him, so you don't even have him on your list.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is this mysterious blank player under Tyson Ross?
Well, can we get a drum roll?
Yeah.
Jay Bruce.
Oh, Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce. What do you think of Jay Bruce?
Let me look. I didn't get a chance to prep on Jay Bruce. He bounced back. He's Jay Bruceian again.
He's very Jay Bruceian.
Yeah, he's, you know, 250s, lots of dingers. He's back on pace to being Jay Bruce again. His OPS is over 800, 825. I like that. He was bad last year, better this year. He will probably go to some contender who has a hole in the outfield and will fuel a run. I actually like Jay Bruce to move somewhere else because it looks like he is signed through next year, so he's got one more year on his contract. And if the Reds are going to be rebuilding, I think he's the perfect person to move. The question is where?
The question is where, Jeff? And I'm typing Jay Bruce into Yahoo right now to find out. Or Google. Yahoo. What is this?
Yahoo. Are you going to ask Jeeves? Vista?
I like Jay Bruce for a lot of reasons. I like him because he's exactly what a team needs when they are looking to make a postseason push and have success in the postseason, which is a guy who can hit dingers. That's what matters in this league, period. At least offensively. And he has been in July very good. He's hit 4 home runs. He's hitting .325. This looks like this is him turning it on for an end of the season run. And I think any team that would have a chance at him should definitely go after him.
All right. What about, I'm thinking here, let's see, the Angels outfield is full. Dodgers outfield is over full. Nationals outfield could use him, but they have Span coming back and Worth coming back.
Right.
I'm looking here. I think the best bet for him would be another team that has a lot of all or nothing dinger players. But their outfield's full too. I was thinking the Yankees, but Gardner, Ellsbury, Beltran, they paying Beltran too much money to bench him is the problem.
Right. Jeff, I'm gonna ask you a question. How about, what do you think about moving across the bridge to a team like the New York Mets? Because you're talking about the Yankees. They're second in the league in runs scored. The Mets are second to last in runs scored.
The Jay Bruce to the Mets would be a very good idea. I actually like that.
And I think he could be had fairly cheap.
Yeah, you think so? What do you think the Mets would have to give up? Like a Zach Wheeler?
Yeah.
I think they'd have to trade from that pitching depth, but they're not giving up one of their top line guys. That would be insane to give up a DeGrom or a Syndergaard or one of those guys.
No, that'd be insane. They're not giving up Syndergaard. They're not giving up Harvey. They're not giving up DeGrom. Those guys are staying put. But I could see a package around, Zach Wheeler. I mean, that's what Cincinnati's looking for right now. They're looking for young arms. They're looking for young players, period. Maybe that. Maybe they dive into their prospects and dig up a middle infielder, which could certainly go a long way in replacing Brandon Phillips someday.
Someday soon, hopefully.
Yeah, right. But I think that's a match made in heaven. I really do. The more we talk about it, I really want to see the Mets trade for Jay Bruce.
And that would put Michael Kadire's butt firmly back on the bench, which I would be happy with.
Oh, no. I love Michael Kadire.
Well, he just got put on the DL the other day, so there's that.
Oh, okay. So he's there regardless.
Yeah, he's there regardless. So, Michael Conforto, that's right. They called him up to play in the outfield. I think that's a good call. I do think that Jay Bruce to the Mets is a good idea for Zach Wheeler. Do you want to call them? Do you want to call the Reds and I'll call the Mets and let them know that we figured it out? Okay,
yes.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. I think we should get that done. You can thank us all, podcast world, for making Jay Bruce go to the Mets.
Yeah.
Well, that was my last name, Jeff, and we still have a ton of Giants stuff to talk about. So I like your idea about doing a podcast again tomorrow. I am so stoked, because there's so much speculation and rosterbation that we can do with the Giants, and I am just creaming my metaphorical genes over this team. So,
all right. And I am going to clear that from the history. All right. So, yeah, I think tomorrow we'll just spend an hour talking about the Giants. And so, Joe, any words of farewell?
Enjoy this, because this is the best time of the year.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, all right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll have another one for you tomorrow.